Please turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, starting from verse 5. This is Jesus speaking. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of streets, that they may be seen of them. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. May God bless this infallible, holy Word of God. Please turn to Lord's Day 49 on page 85 at the end of the Psalter. Page 85, Lord's Day 49. Question 124, which is the third petition? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Dear congregation, the Heidelberg Catechism describes the mind, heart, and will of a true believer. A true believer belongs to Jesus Christ and finds his identity in Christ alone. He experienced the bitterness of sin and misery when he was in Adam and experienced the amazing sweetness of deliverance from sin by God. He was born again and engrafted to the life of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was on a genuine believer, and he desires good works and prayer. In what manner should he pray? Our Lord Jesus Christ teaches every true believer the Lord's Prayer. Now the Lord teaches us the third petition in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What is its relationship with the first and second petition? "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." The first petition, "Hallowed be thy name," is the ultimate goal of everything in the universe, the glory of God. How can God's name be hallowed? By the coming of the kingdom of God. His kingdom subjects, who are also the adopted sons of God, praise God. Who can enter the kingdom of God? Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Doing the will of Father is essential to entering the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is essential to the hallowing of God's name. When we pray, "Thy will be done," we should have view of God's kingdom and ultimately God's glory. The life of Jesus on earth was about God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. The life of Jesus, the summary of Jesus' actions, is doing the will of the Father. The center of his actions is the kingdom of God. He opened his earthly ministry by "the kingdom of God is at hand," and he closed his earthly ministry by talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God vastly expanded after he ascended into heaven. And the ultimate goal of Jesus was to glorify God's name. Dear believers, is "Thy will be done" your desire and your prayer? I know you are. A true believer cries out, "Abba, Father," and he desires to see the Father's will is done. This is your deep desire. But many times you may not know how to pray this desire to your Father in heaven. Let's come to the Lord Jesus Christ to hear him, to teach us how a Son of God pray to the Father in heaven regarding his will. In the third petition, Christ teaches us to ask the Father to grant us both our obedience to his will and the right manner of obedience. The third petition can be divided into two parts. First part is "Thy will be done." Second part is "As it is in heaven." Accordingly, this sermon is divided into two parts. The first thought is petition for obedience. Our second thought is petition for the right manner of obedience. Let's hear first the petition for obedience. Thy will be done on earth. We can understand this part of the prayer negatively and positively. The negative side of this part of the prayer is the petition to deny our own will. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. One of the biblical proofs is Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Children, what is a human will? You do things, and the power behind your doings is your will. It is a power to decide on and initiate actions, or it is a faculty of human soul to choose to do or refuse to do. The will is a power in the soul, and that power drives your body to act that will out. Last Sabbath day, we heard Achan took the accursed thing. Before he took the things, he willed it. His will was before and behind his action. His action is a result of his will. The instructor does not say that we may renounce all our will. Will is a part of creation of God and is vital for our survival and our daily actions. If we do not have a desire to eat, then we die. If we do not have any will to speak or to do anything, we do not speak or even move. Willless person is almost like a dead person. Instructor says our own will. What is our own will? The instructor says this in the contrast with God's will. We'll see later in this sermon that God's will here refers to God's commandments. So our own will refers to any of our will that is in opposition to God's will. Our own will is the enemy of God's will. Our own will can be habitual and become our bosom sins. We live with these bosom sins peacefully. Bosom sin to some of us is pride. To some, self-glory. To some, the control of tongue. To some, lust. Where are these own wills from? They are deep in us. Deep in our roots. They are from the original sin. They comfortably live in us every day. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ did a vast, miraculous surgery on all those who are in him. By his death, our stone hearts, which willed against God's will, were removed. By his resurrection, he put a new heart into us, a heart that hears God's voice. This is new creation, a vast spiritual death and resurrection in all members. He circumcised all his people all at once with him in his death and resurrection. God has the power both to implant a new heart and to wipe out all our flesh in our bodies. But God did not wipe out all of our ungodliness and worldly lusts. Why so? If we view Joshua's leading Israelites into Canaan as a picture of sanctification after Exodus of sin and misery, we can find a hint regarding Canaan. God promised to Moses the land of Canaan and revealed his roadmap into Canaan. Exodus 23 verses 29 through 30 says, I, God, will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. After the surgery, our new heart lives in the environment of flesh in the members. This is God's plan of our gradual sanctification, in which it is God who drives out our sins little by little. What shall we do after such heart surgery? Like a great physician, he instructs us a therapy after the surgery. The therapy is praying that thy will be done. Our own will in the flesh wars against God's will, and we faint. Where is our help? It is God who drives out sin in us, little by little. Left for ourselves, we fail even before the smallest sin. The key in the battles of this life is praying against our own will. We pray that our own will be not done. This is against our nature, isn't it? We sometimes think a prayer is to get our will done. But Jesus' teaching is the opposite. If we are honest, we admit that we cannot pray from our heart, thy will be done. Our heartless prayer thy will be done does not bother our bosom sins. Our flesh is not horrified when our lips utter thy will be done, because our flesh knows that we do not mean it seriously, especially regarding the deepest sin in us. Our bosom sins are our biggest problems, but our prayer often bypass that biggest problems and pray for less important things. We still look very godly, we think. If we admit the battle is of the Lord, and the key to get the help from the Lord is prayer, then we know that the true battleground is prayer. Boys and girls, have you noticed the turning points in the Bible stories? Turning points from bad to good are often prayers and confession of sins. And the turning point from good to bad is sin. So our battleground is against our own will. And this battleground is in prayer. Victory or defeat is determined way before in the front. Now our flesh come to ruin our prayer. Our sin secretly makes us superficial in prayer, and we lose power in our prayer. To fight with our bosom sin is to strive for true prayer according to the Lord's Prayer. If you are lazy or half-hearted in prayer, the defeat is certain. Your bosom sin has won. This is because you already lost the battle in the prayer. Who can deliver us from the body of death? The body with such lifeless prayer. We thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Zechariah 12:10. And I, God, will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. From this verse, John Owen concludes that the Holy Spirit is the creator of genuine prayer. We cannot pray against our own will, but God and Jesus Christ sent forth the spirit of grace and of the supplications with focus on the cross. That spirit was on Jesus when he was at Gethsemane. And with his spirit without matter, Jesus prayed at the risk of his greatest pain, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." With the same spirit, we can truly pray to God, "Father, thy will be done." Are you struggling with pride, selfishness, self-glory, gossiping, lust, hatred, bitterness, and so forth? You feel the difficulty to pray against them. Where is your help? Pray to the Holy Spirit. This is a real battleground. And the Spirit, who is the enemy of your own will come to overcome any obstacles. When you feel you are so weak in your prayer, never lose hope. The Spirit is powerful, and He can generate true prayers in us against our own wills. Jesus intercedes for you when you battle against your own will. Have faith in God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Believe and pray that thy will be done. We have heard many stories in which God answered prayers in the battles. God will hear the Spirit's prayer in you in your battles in Canaan, and drive out your sin little by little. So watch your sin be driven away little by little as you pray. Thy will be done. Now the instructor moves from negative, renouncing your own will, to positive. Thy will be done is also the petition to obey God's will. The instructor says, "And without murmuring, obey thy will, which is only good." What is the Father's will? The context, as it is in heaven, gives us the answer. The angels in Psalm 103, verse 20, says, "They do God's commandments and hearken unto the voice of His word." Although Father's will in general can be as broad as His will behind every creation and every event, but in this third petition, it refers particularly to the Father's will of command in the Word of God. So, in this prayer, we are not praying that God's will about events to be done, or that whatever God has planned come to pass. We are not praying that let things happen as God willed, and let me accept whatever comes to my life. This is right, but this is not in third petition. We are not praying that God's secret will about all things down here. But we are praying that God revealed will of command be obeyed here. This prayer is praying more about our obedience to God's command than our endurance of whatever God willed. How is the Father's will of command? The instructor says, which is only good. Psalm 119, verses 96 and 97. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How is the Father's will of command to you? Is it sweet or burdensome? Do you feel you will be better off if you do not obey God's will? Let us imagine here, you look back your past life and think, in hindsight, if you could live again, from young age, would you choose to obey God's will or your own will? Boys and girls, you have seen the lives of the King Saul and King David. One lived according to his own will, and the other lived after the heart of God. Which life is good life? Judas lived according to his own will and sold Jesus and bought a field. Jesus lived in obedience to God's will and sat at the right hand of God. Which will is the only good? Is it possible to have any good life outside of God's law? No. Psalm 119, verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. God's commandment is perfection for our lives. Any deviation from God's law is imperfection. Jesus lived a perfect life, and his life is obedience to God's will. Whose life is better than Jesus' life? Have you ever murmured when you had to obey God's commandments? When you murmured, you were supposing that you could have been better off if you had not obeyed God's commandment. Even we may occasionally think that we could be better off if we do not worship the whole day on Sabbath day. This is delusion. The law of God is perfect for our welfare. It is delusion to think we can be better off by breaking the tender yoke of Jesus Christ on us. The law of God is best for us, and God designed it with best interest and love toward us. Boys and girls, never murmur against that you have to obey your mom and dad. This is God's best design for you. Having mom and dad over you is your only good. What is to obey God's will of command in daily life? The instructor says that everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling. Why do we hear duties here? Command from God's side is duties from our side. Command and duties are like two sides of a coin. Obedience to God's command is attending and performing the duties of earthly station and calling. God connects obedience to earthly masters with obedience to Christ the Master. Ephesians 6 verses 5 to 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as man pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, if we are not doing the duties on earth, we are not obeying God's will of command. Each one has his duties. Station means a place where someone stands. Boys and girls, you have a place in your family, in your school, in your church, don't you? That place is your station. And a station comes with duties. As a child in your home, you have a duty to honor your parents. Students, to honor and obey your teachers. In church, you have a duty to fear the Lord, repent, and believe in Jesus. And if we are on the road, we have the duty to obey the speed limit. Duties accompany station and also calling. Calling is a strong divine urge towards a particular way of life or career. God calls us to be Christians. God made covenant with you, and God's people have duties. Summary of these duties is to love thy God with all thy being, and love thy neighbor as thyself. God calls church office bearers. The Reformers and Puritans view our earthly jobs as vocations or callings as called by God to do certain regular work. How can we obey God's will? Pray. Jesus teaches us to pray for obedience. Prayer is nothing in the eyes of the world, and sadly, it seems little or secondary to some Christians. We have three major means of grace, which is word, particularly preaching, second, sacraments, and third, prayer. We take word and sacraments very seriously, and rightly so, but may not take prayer as seriously. How important is the role of praying when we need to obey God's will? Let us find answer in Jesus and in the Bible. When Jesus was about to choose 12 disciples, including Judas, he prayed the whole night. He knew God's will, but to obey that will needs prayer. He must choose Judas to be one of his disciples. When Jesus was about to be betrayed, he prayed in Gethsemane. The Bible does not treat prayers as a second-class means of grace. The apostles said in Acts 6:4, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." They place prayer even before the word. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and we do not see Jesus teaching disciples how to preach. Prayers are often turning points in the Bible stories. Prayer is everywhere in the Bible. Word and sacraments are vitally important, but not at the expense of prayer. Prayer is such an important means of grace. A means of grace is a channel to receive God's grace in Christ. God gives good things through means. For example, God gives food through work. Therefore, if we desire food, we work. We regard work highly, don't we? We regard means of food highly. If you regard means of food highly, would you regard means of grace very highly? Consider prayer as work to get your benefits from God. Oh, prayer is much more than work. Do you desire to obey God's will? This obedience is the grace of God. And God gives obedience through the means of grace, prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray for obedience. Do you struggle with prayer? We all do. we cannot generate a true prayer by ourselves. But God gives the Holy Spirit. He is the creator of all genuine prayers. Have faith in Him, and He will create in you a true prayer. Thy will be done. Don't give up, dear believers, until you see His help. Thy will be done is a petition for obedience. Jesus' teaching of prayer does not stop there. He said, as it is in heaven. This is our second thought, but it would be very brief. Before we hear the second thought, let us sing Psalter 321. Psalter 321. The third petition has two parts. Thy will be done on earth. Our second part is as it is in heaven. The first part, we pray for obedience. Our second part, we pray for the right manner of obedience as it is in heaven. The instructor says, as willingly and faithfully as angels do in heaven. Jesus teaches us to pray for such manner as willingness and faithfulness. When we pray to obey God's will, willing is ready, eager, or prepared to do something. Are you eager to obey the Father's will? Is obedience to God's law a delight for you? Are you reluctant to obey or half-hearted in obedience? Children, did you have some occasions that you were so willing to do whatever your mom or dad asked you to do? That was most beautiful moment, wasn't it? That normally happens when you are so thankful to your mom and dad, and you love them so much. It's not Father which art in heaven, worthy of infinite thankfulness and infinite love. Faithfulness is firmness in observance of duty. Are you firm in observing your duty? Does the peer pressure make you compromise on your duties? How do you view your duties when observing your duties may be to your disadvantage? Adam was not firm in observance of his duty. He ate the fruit. He was unfaithful. The duty was less important than his own will to eat. The Father's will is less important. But Jesus was so firm in observance of his duties. He was so faithful even unto death. Duty is sacred because behind the duties is the will of God. Faithfulness to duties is faithfulness to God. We receive terrible consequences from Adam's unfaithfulness in duty, but receive amazing grace from Jesus' faithfulness and willingness in his duties. How can we have such right manner of obedience? Pray. Jesus teaches us to pray for such manner of obedience. Why pray? Because we do not have true willingness and genuine faithfulness. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of light. God ordains prayer as a means to receive gifts from God. For everyone that asks receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If we lack in prayer but still desires godly life, we are like a man who does not work but desires a wealthy life. Do you desire to be willing and faithful in obeying God's command? Pray. Are you struggling with your prayer? Ask the Holy Spirit, the creator of the genuine prayer. Ask and you'll receive. Jesus teaches us to pray for the right manner of obedience, and he does so by giving example of the angels. This prayer is a petition for the heart to follow the example of the angels. How is it like in heaven with regard to God's will? Psalm 103, verse 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Angels, being so strong and mighty, do God's commandments, hearing his voice. The name angel reveals the essential design and purpose of God in creating them. The original words for angel in both Old Testament and New Testament mean messenger. A messenger carries the message of the sender and does the sender's will. That the sender's will be done is a primary concern of a good messenger. A messenger renounces his own will. It is interesting to note that Jesus often refers himself as being sent by the Father. The disciples of Jesus were also called apostles, which means one sent out or messenger. Christians are sent by Jesus. It is also interesting to know that Jesus hints angel as a good example in this very brief Lord's Prayer. Jesus Christ was teaching his people to pray, the whole human race was actually devastated by the chief bad angel, Satan. And we still struggle daily with the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We live in the consequence of bad angels, and we feel daily their power of darkness against us. In our prayer, our Lord brings our mind to heaven, where hosts of his angels are so good. They are attentive to the voice of God, and they execute God's commandment faithfully and willingly. These good angels are our fellow kingdom subjects. They are our good examples. We pray that we can be like angels on earth, the messengers of good news and agents of God's will on earth. Are you like an angel on earth? Are you a messenger or agent of God's will? How can we be so? Pray. By praying the Lord's Prayer, our mind becomes heavenly. We observe, as it were, how the angels in heaven do the commandments of God and how they hear the voice of God. What encouragement that we have such fellow servants as our examples. The Lord pray, teach us to pray. In summary, in the third petition, Jesus teaches us to ask the Father to grant us both obedience and the right manner of obedience. Please remember, this is a prayer. In prayer, we pray against us. Obedience is a gift of God, and God ordains prayer to receive such gift. If you desire good things, please also desire the means of grace. Prayer is such a means of grace. And Jesus said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." May God stir up your desire to pray daily, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May this prayer of Jesus echo in heaven and echo in our hearts, that our own wills may be renounced, and thy will, which is only good, may be done this week and furthermore. We pray in our greatest teacher's name, Jesus' name. Amen.